Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Michael Sparks. It's July 14th, 2014. Glad everybody's on the call tonight. It's going to be a good call. First off, I did want to say a couple of things. The first thing is I've had a few dealers ask me how they can get past calls, and there's a way to subscribe to our team training calls. There's a couple of ways. Number one, you can go directly to our website, which is lube-direct.com, and then you're going to click on the dealer training tab. That's going to take you to the dealer training site, and all of the calls are on that page. And there's also a history page that I try to keep up to date, allows you to go and click on each individual call and listen to them. There's actually an easier way to do this, though. It's called all these calls are uploaded in a podcast format. And if you have an Apple type of a device, that would be an Apple computer, a Mac, I guess, an iPad or a iPhone, you can subscribe to our calls on iTunes. So anytime a new call comes up, it will automatically go to iTunes. Be sure to tell your team about that. And, you know, you can start at the very beginning of the calls over 2 years ago and listen up till now. And it's a great thing to listen while you're driving. It's education on wheels, as they say it. If you've got a Droid-based phone, that's what I use. A Samsung Galaxy, as a matter of fact, is what I have. If you have a Droid-based phone or a tablet, you can use an app. The one that I like is called Beyond Pod. And you can go to www.beyondpod.com, and the instructions on how to use that are there. That's an easy-to-use thing there. And then you can search for the call, or you can actually type in the link for our calls. It's a feed link there, and you'll be able to do the same thing as you did with iTunes. So it really works great. I've got all the calls on there. And if you've got people that are just signing up that have missed the calls for the last 2 years, no better training. It's free. It's been every Monday, except for maybe very few that we've missed. And, you know, holidays or being out at AMSOL training or something. So it's a lot of great calls. And be sure to let all your people know that they can listen to the archived calls there. Secondly, if you haven't done so, I posted this in the newsletter last night. There's an interview with Jordan Adler. He's the author of Beach Money. He's a multi-million-dollar earner currently in his current company, which is Send Out Cards. He's earned over $10 million in 10 years. That's $1 million a year. Guy makes a couple hundred thousand dollars a month in residual income. So you can hear his story, talks about it. He's a great interview. He's an excellent speaker and trainer, and I would advise you, if you haven't got my email newsletter from last night, just contact me, and I'll send that to you directly. But that call is only up for a couple of days. I think they're going to take it down next Saturday, so if you don't get a chance to listen to it, you might never get a chance. So be sure to do that. Tonight, we're going to talk about LinkedIn, and this is a business-oriented social networking service. It was founded in December of 2002 and was launched in May of 2003. It's mainly used for professional networking. In 2006, there were 20 million subscribers, and as of June 2013, the current stats that I have, there's 259 million users in over 200 countries and territories. So there's a lot of people you can connect with on this professional social networking. You can think of this as a Facebook for professionals. It's a lot of similar things, but people aren't, you know, putting their status at what they had for dinner or and all that other crazy stuff. So a couple of things about LinkedIn. You can go to www.linkedin.com. LinkedIn.com, and you set up a profile, put some thought into your profile, and try to fill it out completely. The more information you have in there, the more ways that you can connect with somebody, either from your past, I mean, you went to school with, went to, that were in another job Like if you were worked at Coca-Cola, for instance, and you put, I worked at Coca-Cola, everybody else that worked for Coca-Cola can see that you worked there, and you might be able to connect with an old workmate that you worked with or something like that. So that's one thing. Just think of your profile as your online resume. So what are you doing currently? This is a great thing to talk about your AMSOIL business, your full-time job, if you've got one, put that in there. Don't be ashamed. Try to make your AMSOIL business the prominent thing on there, something you're really working towards and trying to get more customers. But set your profile up and fill it out and try to think about who your target market is. Who do you want to attract to your AMSOIL business? If you're wanting to work with commercial fleets, then put more emphasis on commercial fleets. If you're looking for preferred customers, catalog customers, then I would talk about, the catalog program. If you want to sponsor dealers, then definitely put some information about our business opportunity in your profile. Another thing is when connecting, dig deep is what I say. When you connect with somebody, look at their profile. See who else they're connected to. Find out where they work, what they do, where they live, and as much information about them, and build rapport with that person if you can. It's really a good way to expand your network, and you never know what will happen in the future. Another thing I was going to talk about is post information on your wall. It works, like I said, similar to Facebook. You can post information on your wall, and you can post status updates. This should be a professional in nature. You want to make it educational or interesting that would make one of your connections want to read it and share. That would even be better. Speaking of reading and sharing, it's always good to do that with your connections. If you find an interesting article or you find some kind of status update, share that with your people, your connections. You never know when more people you can bring together as a connector of others, the more rapport that you'll have, the more social proof that you'll have, and the more people will want to do business with you. So it's just one thing to think about there. So anyhow, next up, I think on LinkedIn groups, that would be a big one because there's associations and different types of groups. You can go on there and search. There's like oil installer groups. There are hold on a second here. Somebody else wanted to get on the call tonight, I guess. there's groups, and you can get on these groups, and the beauty of the groups is that you can contact anyone. One of the limitations on LinkedIn is you can't, if you're not connected to the person, you can't send them an email. So what you'll want to do is, if you're connected with them on groups, you can send them a direct email or connect with somebody that you would like to try to do business with. There's some cool tools that I just want to really talk about, though. One is called Rapportive, Rapportive. And what this does, it works with Gmail. If you have a Gmail account and you have your contacts in there and you use Gmail to send emails and so forth, it's an app that allows you to see what social networks the person you're emailing is on. So I've used Rapportive for several years, and you'll just never know when I get an email from a potential customer or client, and they show up, and I've connected with them on Facebook, or I've connected with them on LinkedIn or whatnot. That just allows me to learn more about that person, have a better relationship with that person, so that they'll continue to buy AMSOIL products for a long, long time. So just something to think about. It's Rapportive is the name of that tool, and I'll put that in the notes for next week. Speaking of that, I wanted to bring on Dale Childress tonight. I think we've got an interesting story of how he uses LinkedIn, and I think he's a firm believer. Dale, you there?
I'm here, Mike.
Hey, tell us a little bit about LinkedIn for us.
Okay, thanks for having me on tonight. What's funny is if you get to know me, I'm not a computer guy. It wouldn't bother me if they cease to exist. But I don't have a Facebook page. Mike's trying to talk me into setting one up. Anyway, LinkedIn is something that I came across a couple of years ago. I actually used it as an app on my iPhone. And I use it strictly for developing relationships of like-minded people that I would like to be associated with. Guys, what we have to think about is what is our ideal candidate for our business? Do we want to register someone in our group that, and then have to train them every single thing from the start to finish? Or do we want to just go ahead and recruit in a demographic that's already a business professional? What got me involved in LinkedIn was knowing that they have, and they're still, I was reading an article, they're bringing on one new business professional every 2 seconds around the clock. So you're not going to run out of leads. But I met Dave, he's on my team, Dave Noss. I met him on LinkedIn. And back to what I was saying, the value of LinkedIn is picture this, you're fishing out in this huge ocean, and LinkedIn is that spot in the ocean where all the big fish are. So, you know, what we want to do for our business is grow as big as we can, as fast as we can. And in my opinion, the best way to do that is go at the top, go for the big ones first. Then we can spend our time with guys that are out there making it happen. And that's how I found Dave. Dave's out there making it happen, and I'm going to introduce you to Dave here in a few minutes. We have several questions that we're going to ask him to share with us as well. But LinkedIn is it's the best source to tap into a demographic of business professionals. So doesn't it make sense if we're trying to build a business, whether it's AMZOL or any business, if we go to the source, where do all the business owners hang out? And guys, business owners, don't let that term scare you. Business owners are normal people. They just happen to be in a different circle of influence. They still, you know, they get up every morning just like we do. They still do the same things we do. They're normal people. So don't be intimidated. When you log on to LinkedIn, the beauty of it is you can actually look at the people's profile before you become friends with them. And I still don't know all the ins and outs on LinkedIn, but I know enough about it to know that if I want to go to a source that has the ideal demographic to help me build my business with high-end connections, then I can't think of a better source than LinkedIn. Mike, is that pretty much cover what we were going to talk about LinkedIn?
Yeah, Dale. It's like you said, it's a great tool,
and it's very easy to use.
I like the analogy you use for the fish in the sea. And it allows you to, it's kind of like a depth finder, a depth finder for your AMZOL efforts. You can go, you know, instead of fishing blindly, you can go on there and target who you want to connect with and the types of people that you want to do business with, and also attract the right people that you want to do business with. So,
well, one thing that I have learned over the years is, there's a lot of good people out there, and there's a lot of people that are smart. They're just not aware of the opportunities that exist. And so I feel like it's my duty to increase the awareness of people out there that don't know that there's a better way. And, you know, one of those tools that we can increase awareness with is LinkedIn. We can post, which Dave does a fantastic job of this. You can post articles on your LinkedIn. You can keep people plugged into you. Actually get a little bit of a following. But it's just, it's a big group of people that are all business professionals. They're all people, trust me, they're all people you want in your organization.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get Dave on and have him say a few words.
Okay, Dave, hey, you there?
Guys. Yeah, I'm here. How are you guys doing?
Okay, good. What we're going to do is I've got a few questions that I wanted to ask Dave. Dave has done an amazing job recruiting new, bringing on new dealers. And I prepared a few questions I wanted to ask him. So he could share his insight and his experience so far with recruiting at AMSL. And who knows, if we can pick up on one or two things from what Dave has to share, then it's worth it. So the first thing I wanted to ask you, Dave, is what is your approach when you go to recruit someone or you've got someone in mind already? What's the very first thing you say on the initial conversation? What's your approach to that particular person?
Well, you know, sometimes, Dale, it depends on the venue that I'm in. You know, if I'm working on LinkedIn and I'm getting to know a little bit about somebody, my approach with that person is going to be a little bit different. If I'm walking through a crowd like I was last weekend at a classic car show and have all my handouts with me and my clipboard and I'm walking around and just kind of going up to the owners of the cars and taking a look at their car and talking about their vehicles first and asking them politely at the end of the conversation if I could leave my information with them. And, of course, the confidence level is there because it's AMSOIL. So they simply take my information. Most everybody that takes it knows about AMSOIL. And half the time they're starting to share stories about their experience with AMSOIL. So, again, it depends.
So when you ask them to leave, can you leave them information, are you automatically assuming that are you trying to get them to be a dealer at that point, or are you just talking with them about the product?
Well, as you know, the more you talk and the more you listen, it helps you understand what direction you may want to go with that particular individual. One of the guys in the motorcycle part of that whole thing that was going on, he already said just a few things to me that alluded to the fact that he would be interested in becoming a dealer. So my conversation, you know, went that direction with him. And then other people were just interested in a product for their machine.
So do you let them kind of take you in the direction?
Right, pretty much.
Okay. Is there a particular way you begin the conversations? Like, do you just come right out and tell them what you're doing, or do you warm up to them? How do you normally begin a conversation with someone
right.
like that?
I warm up to them, Dale, a little bit, so I know what direction I'm going to go when I, you know, do either propose something to them or leave them some information and stick around for as long as they want to talk. I think what's key is you have to learn when you've overstayed your welcome, and sometimes you won't. Sometimes, you know, people will keep going on, and you're going to hang around a little bit to learn a little bit more. You may even offer up more information depending on your audience.
So you view it as you're just providing them with information?
You have to be prepared. So
okay.
Whenever you're going about, you know, out and about these days, have your app on your phone for accessing our application system. So when people start asking you right
Oops.
Away what they need for their car, you have it handy. Have your handouts with you. Have some stuff in your vehicle you may not carry around, but that you can go back and get. So be totally prepared.
How you doing, boys?
Good.
So,
be totally prepared. You know, so you're ready to go when somebody needs information.
Gotcha. So how many times, like, I'm going to ask you specifically based on the people that you've already brought onto your team. How many times would you say you've had to contact those people prior to them registering as dealers? Like how many times would you say you would have to contact that person before they're actually ready to say, okay, I want to be a dealer. How do I be a dealer?
Again, that varies quite a bit too. Some people I've talked with for years. Some people I've talked with one time. Some people I've talked with two times. You can pretty much tell a person's level of interest just by the questions they have and their energy level. Always try to get their information to follow up with. I do like to follow up with people initially after I first talk with them. Sometimes they go home and they sleep on it. They may have thoughts about coming into something like this. And basically, if it's somebody that's never been in a business like this, they're going to be swayed the other way by somebody else in the family, or they're going to be uncomfortable. So I always like to follow up to see if they have any questions about the business model or anything that they can, would like to ask me. Again, you're going to see where that direction is going, and then you go from there.
So you're actually, the way I could take it is you're being more of a consultant than you are a salesperson.
Correct. You don't want
to. Okay, and that's the way the trends are nowadays in business.
Right.
Another question I want to ask you is, let's get inside their mind for a second and their mindset. What questions do they usually ask you when you know they're ready to become a dealer, or they're at least interested in becoming a dealer? What are some of the questions that you've noticed that they're starting to ask you?
Well, it will vary depending on where your conversation is going. Some people will just, ask, what do I need to do next? And if I get into a conversation, and I'm talking to somebody, I want them to start thinking about the business that's around them. I've recruited a lot of guys in different states, and everybody has a different kind of business market around them. So I'd like them to get
that's
them
a good
going.
Idea. About their guys.
Yeah,
you get them thinking about their connections.
Right, their connections. What kind of business is around you? What kind of business can you get? I mean, what kind of people? Do you know any people that would be interested in something like this? And again, it's the demographic is different. And then usually they'll pipe up and they'll start talking about it. And now the energy level is there. You got them thinking about
it.
Go from there.
That makes a lot of sense. That's a really good strategy. So your angle is you want to get those guys thinking about their group that they're in. Their circle of influence.
Correct.
So you don't even have to tell them, hey, there's lots of people around you that could use this. You actually flip it around and get them thinking about all of their connections personally. And that probably gets them excited, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And then another thing I like to get out right away with them is explain really quick how we make money in this business.
So what do you do? If there's some new people on here tonight, give them a little bit of guidance on what they should expect or what they should do. So go ahead and tell us what you do when that comes up.
Well, so far, with what I've said, those are the kinds of things you want to kind of foster that kind of discussion with somebody. Never be overbearing or too pushy. Just don't walk up to somebody and hand them your card. You want to get them to start thinking about what's going on around them, their possible opportunity. They need to create this possibility in their mind. So you want to help them do that. And then you want to explain to them briefly how we make money from either a commercial sales or retail on a shelf or recruiting somebody and the benefits of recruiting somebody to build that financial freedom and leverage. We're all going to get older. And it would be nice to have that extra income coming in from a lot of people that you brought to the table over the years. And get them to start thinking about that. Explain it to them. And with that, trust me, after you get their information, The next time you guys talk with each other, they'll start asking you questions, and you'll be going to the next level. Sometimes people just say we're not interested, but that it doesn't happen too often.
How often would you say, or how long should the average person wait to follow up with that contact again, either with more information or, just to see if they've had time to think about it? How long of a time period would you suggest that that we follow up with that person from that initial contact?
I would give them about 24 hours.
And so just tell them call you in a day or two?
Call you in a day or two, see if you have any questions or any more thoughts about this. And definitely do that. You may end up in several conversations because each time you talk to an individual, they're going to go on and on more about themselves. They're going to go more and more about their potential, what they can do with it. And then you can take them in the direction they want to go for themselves when they start opening up to you. And if things go well, you can recruit them into the business. It's such a reasonable price to get in. It's ridiculous. Why not come in and at least take a shot at it?
Yeah. The last question I want to ask you is, do you use AMSL materials to pique their interest? And if so, what materials do you use to pique the interest of potential dealers?
Well, I'm a user. And I noticed that when I just changed my oil, and I noticed that my engine just seems to be running smoother and quieter. My own experiences with any of the products I've used, obviously the more products we try ourselves, you cannot beat having that personal experience with a product to be able to share a story about it. Another thing is, as I'm building my team, we're sharing our stories with each other about the different products we're trying. Somebody else might be trying the PI. I'm doing another product, so another guy might be trying another product. So we share those stories amongst ourselves, and their story is now your story, and you can share that with somebody else if they start talking about grease or something else, and then you at least have some sort of experience with what one of your buddies told you there on your team that you can share with them.
So you would probably agree it's really important, it's imperative that a new dealer start using the AMSL products in their own personal equipment as soon as possible, not only to protect their equipment, but for the testimonial factor.
No doubt about it, and I even encourage that to my clients that are starting out, maybe new with the AMSOIL product. They're no different, so it's the same thing with them as well. Try to get them to start using something, even maybe giving something out to some of their clients. Maybe you as a dealer are going to decide to either sell something at cost or you're going to give something away, something that's, that at least they can experience any kind of product whatsoever, because if they like the PI or if they like the grease, then they're going to come back not only for more of that, they're going to come, want to try some of the other products.
Right. That's absolutely. I'm thrilled that I have you on my team, and I'm thrilled that we're all using the products so we can give that personal testimony, because that does add energy to the conversation when you go speak to a potential dealer. But, Dave, I want to thank you for participating in tonight's call. Mike, we're going to go ahead and turn that back over to you.
Oh, thank you, Dale. Dave, I got a couple last things here that I want to bring up. I just looked up your information, and it looks like you started back in May of this year, first part of May, so you've been a dealer just a little over 2 months. It looks like you have about 11 dealers on your team, and I think we had an email today that you have a 12th. Is that correct?
There's another guy. Yeah, another guy down in Florida.
You got a couple more in the wings. I consider you a power sponsor, a power recruiter, as they say. You seem to have started right out of the gate, starting on your business, working at it on a steady basis. Congratulations on that. What kind of background do you have as far as, have you been involved with other direct sales companies in the past?
Yes, I've been at this for about 7 to 8 years. I've had an Amway business. I've learned through that. That business, that particular business was not working for me. I went over and became a prepaid legal shield, person over there, representative, and worked that for a couple of years, but really had a lot of difficulty, retaining people on that program. But as, you know, from one business to the next, you always learn more and more and more. Of course, I had to try to do a lot of recruiting in those businesses, same business model. So with each and every experience with recruiting along the years, got me to where I am now. So I've learned from all those experiences. And I use a lot of the same tactics. I still am open to learn more from yourself and Dale along the way, even from my team.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
A lot of times people still come up with ideas I haven't thought about, and the better we get at it, the better we get.
So comparing Amsoil to those other adventures you were in, do you feel that you have found a better fit with Amsoil compared to your work history prior to that? I think you were in over-the-road trucking, something like that, right?
Yes, I was operations manager for Roadway Express for 20 years. I also was not actively working the business with a company called Fuel Direct Global Diesel Innovations.
Okay.
But with Amsoil, there's credibility, there's history, there's a notoriety of the brand. I've got third-party lab testing behind me. I can pass up all those kinds of discussions with anybody that has any doubts about what I'm bringing to the table, and basically the next question I'm asked is, send me some pricing.
Oh, great.
What is that product? I don't see any, you got an SAE, what do you got? I just don't believe it. I don't see any credibility. I don't have to, it's just so much easier with this. And coupled that with my years of experience of doing these kinds of business, it's just really a breath of fresh air.
Well, I'm so glad that you found Dale through LinkedIn. I guess we didn't really get to talk about that too much. Any last comments on using LinkedIn before we close out the program here tonight?
Yes, and you kind of hit on it. Do not treat it like Facebook. You're on there with business people. And if you do anything that even smacks of spam, your reputation is going to precede you on there, whether you know it or not, especially as you build. I've got about 2,700 connection on there. So anytime I post something, any one of those people could be looking at what I post at any time. So you want to watch what you do. You don't want to over-invite, because LinkedIn will shut you down, and then you got to try to beg them to get you back up and running again. Not shut you down totally, but as far as inviting. So pick a market, a target market. Look for the CEOs. Look for the decision makers. Sometimes you'll maybe have to get somebody a little bit lower down in the chain to get to those people, make a decision. But try to get your decision makers on there. And, again, once you're linked up, then you can start a dialogue. You can ask some simple questions like, how's business by you going? start any simple, just simple
yeah,
questions.
Yeah.
Get them to start going at it, and then you can always interject and inject any kind of, information that you might want to offer. And be careful
how you
do
it. And you think being helpful as opposed to trying to sell somebody something's a lot better, trying to do educational or just trying to help those people is what I think I'm trying to do. And I might not sell them today, but if I build a good relationship 6 months, 1 year, or 10 years down the road, you never know when that comes back around. Treated the person fairly, built that rapport with them and everything, and you just never know, right?
And your follow-up is a little different with those guys, because remember, you know, your CEOs and the decision-makers, their plates are full. They're not going to make a decision overnight. You know,
yeah.
I've got a trucking company with 415 trucks. I know the president is still looking at this, and I've been going back and forth with these guys for months. But at some point,
uh-huh.
you got to learn to back off, because if you keep pushing, they're going to just tell you to get lost. So you need to be
yeah.
careful how you work that and give them the respect of time, but always get around, make notes, and try to do some sort of a follow-up, even if it's a month later.
Exactly, exactly. True story, we went to the work truck show up in Indianapolis back in March, and a couple of our group went together, and we decided to purchase the entire list of everybody that was there at the thing, because, you know, obviously when they come by your trade show booth, you might see 50 people a day or 150 people a day or something like that, and they said there were 5,000 people there. I took that Excel spreadsheet, and I was able to upload that to LinkedIn, and I only contacted those people that already had LinkedIn accounts. I didn't invite anybody new to LinkedIn. But I increased my connections by over 500. I don't know how many are, but I just kept. I thought, well, maybe I've made a mistake, because there was, every day I'd get 20, 50, 100 people connected, so, you know, accepting my connection. And so what I've been doing is systematically going through each one of those and say, hey, I'm sorry we didn't get to visit more at the work truck show, which gives us rapport that we were there together. And then, you know, hopefully we'll be able to build our relationship or something like that, or maybe see you next year or whatnot. But that allows me to have a little bit of rapport with somebody I probably didn't even talk to there. You know, they just might have thought that I talked to them or something. But it really helped build that connection. And I'm just going through, looking at each single one of them, a few every day. I'm not doing them all at once. And building those connections. And will something come of it? I don't know. But I know for sure if I wouldn't have done that, zero would come of it. So my chances, I think, are pretty good to make some good connections on those lists. So if you've got a list of people, I would definitely encourage anybody listening tonight to find a way to connect in a professional manner. LinkedIn seemed to be the most obvious way. If I would have sent each one of those guys an email, it would probably went in every spam folder under the sun. It would have been cost prohibitive probably to send out 5,000. I wish we would have met type of mails in the mail. So this seemed to be the most economical way to connect with all those people that were there. So
right, and get in there every day a little bit at least to see what's going on, because there may be some activity that pertains, and you'll get a kickback too. Some activity that may pertain to a comment you made in a group or something
yep.
you may have posted. And you don't
yeah.
want to miss it, because that might be the one.
Exactly, exactly. Well, thanks for your insights, Dave. Congratulations on your superstardom right out of the gate here. Keep up the great work. And we're looking forward to hearing more good things from you, okay?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, with that, everybody, I hope everybody has a good night. I appreciate everybody getting on the call. Went just a little bit longer than I wanted, but that's okay. I think it was great information. And with that, let's...
Good night, Michael.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Michael.
Good night, Michael.
Good night, Michael.